These might be some of the more challenging words that you hear in the Gospels. Besides all the end time stuff that you find in the Gospels and the woe and the gnashing of teeth and all that goes with that, the line where the Lord says, "Without me, you can do nothing," is a really challenging line. And of course, if we think about it, without Christ, the second person of the Trinity who has become enfleshed, died and rose, there really is nothing. There is not eternal life. It is not open to us, and we cannot make it happen ourselves. There's nothing that perdures or lasts forever, right? But it's interesting that this is put in the midst of this image of Christ is the vine, we are the branches, and the Father is the vine grower. And we get pruned. In the midst of this, he's basically saying, without remaining in me and my Father pruning you, you can't produce good fruit. Now, did I understand that at one point in terms of theologically? Yeah, some. Of course, in the seminary, you study the Gospels and you study, you know, of course, John's Gospel, and this is a great image, and it draws on the Mediterranean culture and all that goes with that. But it wasn't until we actually planted some vines over at the seminary. So we put in 96 vines, right? And of course, the object is wine, right? That's the end goal, which is also very interesting in the fact that, you know, Jesus also says, produce fruit that will last. Well, the only fruit that I know that lasts is the fruit that's fermented. The rest goes bad. So it's an interesting thing that the fruit that lasts is that which has been turned into wine. And of course, that's what we use every Mass. The fruit that lasts. And it becomes the body and blood of Christ. But I didn't really understand this thing about the pruning. Until you begin to grow grapevines, looking forward to growing the grapes that'll make the wine. And just as a side note, off of the 96 vines, we should be able to make, so they say, right? And you figure in the averages, 300 bottles a year. Not bad. So we have to expand just a little bit, right? Because there's 365 days in the year. So we'll be a few short. But the interesting thing about grapevines is they don't like to produce grapes. What they like to produce are vines and leaves. They like to spread out. They really don't want to invest a whole lot of energy into producing good grapes. They're perfectly happy to produce little grapes that contain the seeds. And the only ones who would actually find them edible would be the birds, right? The deer and the raccoons. But they're really not interested in investing a huge amount of their energy into producing those nice large grapes that you can crush and make wine out of. And left on their own, they will grow, they will spread, they will produce small grapes, but any of the grape varieties that produce good wine grapes, if left on their own, they will grow themselves to death. They will just keep spreading, and they won't establish a root structure or a strong enough trunk stem to sustain themselves. They'd rather go and grow, proclaim their freedom, do what they want, and they die. So it's a very interesting image. If you want good grapes and good wine, you have to prune them, and you have to prune them hard. So, for instance, you get the new grape stock, and they send you a shoot, little stem, it's about that big, and it has the roots on the bottom. You trim up the roots, you put it in the ground. It grows that first year, and of course you have to train it to grow up instead of laying on the ground. It grows that first year, and it might grow 6 to 8 feet and send out some laterals, and you tie it up to the wires, the guide wires. Leaves fall, stems harden off. that first February after that summer growth, you cut it down to two buds, this tall again. You go, okay, that's how you do it. I'll be patient. You let it grow the second year. It grows 8 to 10 feet. Looks great. Got great looking vines. Getting excited here. But if you want good grapes, you have to cut it back down a second time to two buds. Force the roots to grow. Force the trunk stem to become established. And in that third year, you can let it grow and maybe get some grapes. But really, you ought to prune it again. This time, not down close to the ground, but just to the trunk vine. But you cut all that off. So in 3 years, growth, you have probably cut 98% of that vine away and pitched it in the fire. So when our Lord uses the image of the fact that the Father prunes, we should not have in our mind a little snip here, take away a leaf there, right? It's drastic. It's hard. The Father prunes the vine looking for the good harvest. The next piece of that is you prune them every year. You cut them back every year to that almost same size so that they produce good grapes. And at any time that you let them go and quit pruning them, they will cease to produce good grapes. Our Lord says to us, you are already pruned because of the word that I spoke to you. The word is what prunes us. What is that word? The word is that the Lord speaking to our hearts and challenging us day in and day out. The word of God, both in the scripture, but the word of God as revealed in and through the church and in the sacraments, continually challenging us to prune away that which is selfish, egocentric, that which is not of God, that which is of the law that we give ourselves instead of the law that the Lord has given us, his commandments. Each and every day, the Lord challenges us by his word to grow in him, to die to self, to grow in his grace, to die to our life and grow in his life, to not look to produce our own vines and leaves, but to produce the fruit that the Lord's looking for. The word prunes because the word cuts to the heart and it challenges us in the heart. We can choose not to be pruned. But the fact is, life prunes us all on its own. The hardships of life that we didn't look for, the challenges, the frustrations, the disappointments, those prune us. The joys, the triumphs, all that comes with that, those invigorate us. But in both cases, the only way that we are properly pruned is if we see both the triumphs and the setbacks, the joys and the sorrows, in and through the Word of God, in and through the Word of faith. Now we're being pruned. Because I take whatever it is that goes on in my life and I see it in and through my trust in God, my trust in God's word, the word of salvation, the word of forgiveness, the word of challenge. And now I'm open to being pruned. When I'm set in my own way of analyzing the situation, my values, this is how I'm going to handle this because this is what I value, God, step back at this point. At that point, I'm not willing for the Father to prune me. So as we celebrate this Eucharist today, one of the challenges that comes out of this gospel that we might take to heart is, how willing are we really to let the Lord prune our hearts? We should make it our prayer, prune me today. Cut back whatever is not of you. Whatever is of me and selfish and I haven't given to you, Lord, cut that away and pitch it. It's a much more courageous prayer than you might imagine, because the Lord does not spare anything that does not bear the good fruit. But if we're willing to undergo that day in and day out, season in and season out, the words that are spoken to us at the end of this gospel will be ours. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. Those words apply to us. Realize that there is one other thing that this gospel tells us, and the people who heard it originally would know. The vine grower is patient. Patient with us. He will certainly tend to the vines. He will certainly prune us. But the vine grower, just as we who grow grapes looking for the wine, patiently anticipates the harvest. Patiently anticipates the fruit of our lives. So let us have confidence that the Lord will deal with us patiently and with his mercy, even as we sometimes are reluctant to be pruned, to fall under the divine shears. But let us also ourselves anxiously anticipate our hearts being given over to his and our lives producing the fruit for which the Father so eagerly waits for.